Father, we thank you that you are always doing something new. We thank you that you know the future before it even comes. And we thank you that you have called us to be a part of that future. And so, Father, today as we look at a few things surrounding this truth, we pray that you would just impress on us how exciting it is to be a part of that future, how privileged we are that you would call us and choose us and select us to be a part of that future. And while we don't always know what it will all look like, we know if it comes from you, it has got to be good. And so, Lord, you are the God of the past, you are the God of the present, and you are the God of the future. And as you have been with us in the past, and as you are with us in the present, so you will be with us in the future. And we pray that you would lead us. We pray that you would guide us. And we pray that we would trust you, that we would trust you implicitly, that we would follow your direction and your instructions, and that there would be many good things ahead for South Norfolk Congregational Christian Church, for each of us individually as believers, and for this community that needs to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Now take your word and use it today in our hearts, Lord, according to the need as you see it and know it to be. And this we ask in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Remember when you were anticipating that first driver's test to get your license? There are probably some young people here facing that right now, or some who have been through that in the very recent past, and so it's kind of fresh in your minds, and some that it's going to be coming up very shortly. And for some of us, that was a long, long time ago, wasn't it? But I had kind of butterflies probably the day I was going to go take that driving test. I was looking forward to it very much. But at the same time, you know, as you deal with the future, there's always a little uncertainty, isn't there? And then there's that thing about getting married. And some of us got married. And usually, sometimes the preacher or sometimes one of our buddies will say to us in those last few minutes in the back, hey, buddy, there's still time to back out, you know. But all that stuff was future at that time for us. Now we've lived it, and now we look back, and that was like 40-some years ago for some of us, 50-some years ago. But, oh, it was future then. But, see, it's past now. And then the things that are future now, in another year or two, they'll be what? Past. And that's just the way that life is. And the only thing that's really for sure and that really is forever and that doesn't change is God's love for us, his plan for us, and the fact that we are going to be with him forever and ever and ever. And that's the dimension I want to be in, because that's the dimension that the Lord has in store for us, and that's the dimension that Jesus came and died so that we could be a part of that, and it's what the Lord made us for to begin with. But we have this thing about the future, you know, we have these little uncertainties and stuff, and some of us look forward to the future, and some of us dread the future. That's just the way it is. We just do. It just depends on the station in life and how life is going at the moment, and so some of us, you know, even in regular life, we just kind of dread the future. But that's not how the Lord would have us do it. And even if we have some concerns or misgivings about the future, has the Lord not said that he would be with us? Do we not read that psalm, and we read it, and we say it, and then we forget? You know, we're like the man that looks in the mirror and then goes away and forgets what he looked like. It talks about that in James. But David says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, what does he say? I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, those tokens of your presence, one for guidance and one for correction. But they reassure me, and they let me know that you're there? Is his rod with you today? Is his staff with you today? If so, then you have nothing to fear. We have nothing to fear individually. None of us knows what the future holds individually, do we? Can any of us predict what's going to be happening 6 months from now in our own lives? And so, as a church, as we enter a time of transition, it is something to pray about. It is something to look forward to. It is actually something to be excited about. Because unless God is dead, he is still alive, he is still working, and he is still ready to do great things. How many believe that? I believe that with all my heart. So let's take a little look. In a time of transition, a forward focus is absolutely essential in life, individual life, church life, or in any setting. So let's look at a few of these observations here. And believe me, we're either looking forward or we're looking back. So if we're not looking forward, we're stuck. And if we're not careful, the same thing will happen to us that happened to Lot's wife. I put that little verse up there. She looked back and she became a pillar of salt. I think I've seen some people become pillars of salt in my lifetime. Don't you be one of them. And it happens when we look back and live in the past. Number one, faith by its very nature is forward focused. The best definition that we have of faith in the Word of God is faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, of things hoped for, of things anticipated, of things awaited. Faith is the substance of things looked forward to, the evidence of things not seen. And so faith by its very nature is forward focused. I don't need faith to believe God for yesterday. I may need some faith to believe him for today, but that's because even the rest of today is still what? Future. And I certainly may need to, you know, trust it for the future, and I do. And the only way we're going to successfully ever deal with the future in any context is through faith. And that's why that was the first essential, is faith. These two, faith and forward focus, they go hand in hand. People of faith are people with forward focus. I was thinking about that this week, every single hero of the faith, and we have that Faith Heroes, you know, Hall of Fame in Hebrews 11. Every single hero of the faith was a person who was forward focused. Abraham was looking forward to going to the nation God would lead him to. Abraham was looking forward to God making of him a great nation, even though he didn't know how it was going to happen, because he had a wife who was both old and barren. And yet God made a promise, and he acted and obeyed and actually set out and actually moved and actually pursued the promise of God. And it says in that last year after God said Sarah's going to have a son, even though she's now 89 years old, it says he staggered not through unbelief. Have you ever staggered through unbelief? He staggered not through unbelief. He became strong in faith and giving glory to God, but he was forward focused. Moses was forward focused, especially after the call came. The people of Israel had to be forward focused. And you know what happened? We talked about it a few weeks ago. They started looking back to Egypt, and as a result of that, died in the desert. Everybody, 20 years of age and above, because they were turning back in their hearts. But the heroes of the faith were forward focused. Joshua was forward focused. Caleb was forward focused. All of these people were forward focused. Even David was forward focused, because when he died, he was already getting the materials together for the temple of the Lord to be built in Jerusalem. And Noah was forward focused. And all of them, to a person, were forward focused. So if we're a person of faith, if we really are a person of faith means in the biblical context that I am trusting God daily. And I don't know how he's going to do it all, but I know he's going to do it. And all I've got to do is follow him. All I've got to do is obey him. And he will be there. And he will lead us step by step. Does God show us all his plan at one time? The answer is he does not. Not in life, not in anything. He shows us the next step. That's what he does when we're looking toward him and when we are in expectation. But faith by its very nature is forward focused. Number two, time is continually moving forward even if we are standing still. And some of us stand still, and time moves right on past us. Watching a video, guy on a horse, a couple dogs. You know, the one dog stops, the others are still moving, so he's left there isolated by himself. That's what happens, because time is going to move forward. We can move with it or not, but time is moving forward even if we choose to stand still. That's true of an individual, it's true of a nation, it's true of anybody. Number three, history continues to move forward, even if we prefer to live in the past. We'll get into some of the reasons why we like to live in the past a little later on. But history's moving. We may not like it. There's probably a lot of things in the news right now. You look out there and you don't like it. It doesn't mean you have to like it. It doesn't mean you have to be a part of what's wrong. But you just have to understand history is moving. We are not living in the good old days. And if Jesus tarries long enough, then those who are living now are going to look back at these days as the good old days. But history is not static. History is changing continually, and it is moving even if we prefer to live in the past. Number four, God, though eternal, you know, he has no beginning, no end. He lives outside of time. Time is just something, you know, the movement of the planets and so forth gives us the illusion of time. But God is eternal, and he lives outside of time. But God, though eternal, is always moving forward with his plan. Now, sometimes we might think he moves mighty slow. Well, that's because he's on a different clock than we are. But he's always moving forward. He's never moved back. When he set the flood, he was moving forward because he was getting things ready to make a fresh start so that redemption could still take place and the Messiah could still come. And so forth. And when he formed the nation of Israel, they were far from perfect. And many times they lapsed into unbelief and disobedience. And yet he always had a remnant among them. And he sent them the prophets. But time, history, God's plan is constantly moving forward. And finally, it says in the fullness of time, or the NIV says at just the right time, Christ came to redeem us at God's preset time. But at that time, you'd have been looking toward the cross. Now we look back at the cross, but history is still moving forward, and we are now moving toward the culmination of things down here and for the Lord Jesus to come and set up his kingdom. And I just, things are moving pretty quick, so I have a feeling it won't be too long. But God, though eternal, he has no past, no future, no, he himself is eternal, but he is always moving forward with his plan. And you can see it in the Word of God. Genesis to Revelation. Don't we use that term a lot? From Genesis to Revelation. That's right. From creation to the establishment of the kingdom of Christ. That is a movement, my friend. And that is a movement forward. It had a beginning and it's going to have a culmination. And so even God, who's eternal, works that way. So God, though eternal, is always moving forward with his plan, and he calls us to join him in it. We're in the church age now. We're in the age where the gospel is to be shared by every means available, by every means possible, every way possible, that as many as possible would come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so for the church to move forward simply means to continue that task in all the ways that the Lord shows us to do it. We cannot do this, of course, by staying where we are. That is, join him in his plan. We cannot do this, of course, by staying where we are. We must get up and move. And, of course, that's what this church will have to do in the days ahead. However the Lord says to move, we're going to have to get up. We're going to have to move and move forward. And God will move. And people will come to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And his work will go on. Number five. If we prefer the status quo, we can be sure we will never grow. Status quo just means the way things are now. And we are very often happy with that. But if we are in love with the status quo, that means that we're comfortable. We would just as soon stay where we are and everything to stay like it is. And the minute we make that decision, our days of growth are 100% over. And the Lord wants each of us to grow spiritually. But he does that by allowing new situations to come in our life, new opportunities to trust him. They're called problems. You know, and it's through those things that we grow. And new opportunities for service. And if we shrink back from them and don't take them, then we don't grow and we don't move forward. So if we prefer the status quo, either individually or corporately, we can be sure we will never grow. Number six, forward progress is not achieved by dwelling on the past. Either in life or in the kingdom of God. And I really think, too, there's a life cycle component to this thing, just like we were talking about. When we're young, we're mostly looking forward. We're looking forward to finishing fifth grade. We're looking forward to junior high. We're looking forward to making the team. We're looking forward to graduating from high school. We're looking forward to going to college. We're looking forward to having our first job. We're looking forward to a promotion in our job. We're looking forward, in many cases, to being married and establishing a family. We're looking forward to many things. And by the time we are at that, it's come to be known, the middle age, what do they call it? Middle age should be a wonderful time, but it was a middle age crisis? What in the world is that? But anyway, they claim it exists. But by that time, we're now kind of about halfway, so now we may have grandchildren to look forward to and some things like that, but all this other stuff, we already, what's the saying? Been there, done that. So now we are looking forward less and less and less, and we are looking back more and more and more. Doesn't make us bad people. But I'm just saying that, as a matter of fact, just the logistics of it, we're looking back more than we're looking forward. And so it is very easy for us to start cherishing all those old memories and living in the past and really not caring very much about the present and feeling like we don't really have very much to look forward to. And so we are no longer, at that age, forward-focused people. And I've noticed over the years, ever since I was young, and the senior crowd, of which I am quickly becoming a member, I guess I'm officially a member now of the senior crowd. And some are able to continue to keep a forward focus at 80 or 90, always have something new, always have something they're excited about. And there's others that there ain't one word out of their mouth except the good old days. And that's just the way it is. But the Lord would have us constantly with a forward focus. I hope I still have a forward focus on my dying day, whenever that is. I hope I still have that forward focus. I hope I will be like those saints of old and like Joseph, who says, the Lord will surely visit you. And when he does, then take my bones back and bury them on the family plot. But he was forward focused right up until his dying breath. And may the Lord give us the ability. And if we're beginning to get stuck a little bit, it's a natural phenomenon. It's a natural phenomenon. And it only is overcome by faith, I believe. It is only overcome by the Lord's help. But any of us can do it. And we can break out of that where, yes, we can look back, but not be stuck there. And even though there's all that, but to have that forward focus and to be looking forward and to be excited about tomorrow. This is what I wrote on that. It is fine to remember the past, cherish the past, and celebrate the past. What isn't fine is to hold on to the past, live in the past, try to perpetuate the past. The only place that can be done successfully is at historical sites that are frequented by visitors and tourists. The past cannot be preserved, and our best efforts to do so will always end in failure. Oh, we try. We memorialize it and institutionalize it and eulogize it in an effort to keep it going, not realizing that all the while we are simply hastening the day when it will come crashing in upon itself, or else just continue to gradually fade away through the process of time. Value the past, but move toward the future. And that would be my prayer today for myself, for our congregation, for all of us. Oh, there are so many good memories here. Should we not share them? Of course we should. And we should rejoice in them. But we're not in the past. So it's wonderful to cherish it and visit it as a point of reference and all of that. But there is work yet to be done. Are there people out there that still need to hear about the Savior? Do we have a younger generation that's coming up that still needs the same kind of training and nurture we got when we were that age? So that means there's still work to be done. And that means that especially in terms of the Lord's work for us individually and as a church body, our focus needs to continually be forward. Every hero of the faith was forward focused. We can either plan for the future or be overtaken by the future. The choice is ours. Why do we love the past? It's not complicated. You might want to write any of these down. Here's just a few reasons. It's familiar. It's familiar. We like what's familiar. There are even kids that get upset if the daily routine is upset. It's familiar. Number two, it's known. Somebody said, the misery that's known isn't as scary, you know, as the possible happiness that's unknown. We get in our, we call them comfort zones. Even a dysfunctional situation can become, curiously, a type of comfort zone, and people get stuck in them. Number three, it's safe. It's safe because it's familiar and it's known. It may not be ideal, but it's known. It's manageable. It's controllable. So it's safe. And in many cases, number four, it's comfortable. It's not comfortable to do new stuff and go new places, not even when we're little. How many remember your first day of school? Did you cry? Did Mama cry? How many have ever tried to leave a little child in the nursery down there with some people they don't know? But sooner or later, growth means going places we haven't been and doing stuff we haven't done. Did you hear me? Sooner or later. And if it never happens, we will never grow. If it never happens, we will be stuck. If it never happens, we'll just stay where we are. Reasons we fear the future. Exactly the opposite of the first section. Unfamiliar. So because it's unfamiliar, it's uncomfortable. It's unknown. And again, we fear the unknown, I think, a lot of times more than we do the negative that we already know about. Number three, it can be risky. And at times, number four, scary, downright scary. But as we mentioned earlier, time is going to keep moving forward, even if we choose to stand still. And history is going to continue to move forward, even if we prefer to live in the past. And God, though eternal and unchangeable, is going to continue to move forward with his plan, and he calls us to join him in it. And we can either choose to sit and be left behind and let the past overtake us, or we can choose to be a part of whatever it is that the Lord is going to do next. And my hope and my prayer is that as we search our hearts during this time of transition, that we'll really give that some thought and say, Lord, please show me, like we talked the other day, please show me how I can contribute right now to the unity of my congregation, and show me right now how I can be of service to you. And then, depending on who comes and who the new leader is and what may or may not, hopefully the really good and strong things of this church will always remain in place. And then maybe some new and fresh initiatives that are needed will be started. Show me, Lord, where you would have me plug in. But help me not, even if I'm a little afraid. I think Barbara had this on the refrigerator on the counter years ago, and I can't reproduce it word for word, but it said, courage is not the absence of fear. It's being scared to death and climbing up on that horse anyway. And that's my prayer. Shall we pray? Father, we come today, and again, we come acknowledging, Lord, that we tend to shy away from what's unfamiliar and known to us. But Lord, I just pray that you'll help us, Lord, in our individual lives and also as a church body, to realize that you're always moving forward. That you're always, we don't do change just for the sake of change. It's just that as time goes on, things will change. Needs will change. Ministry opportunities will change. Some ministries may be closed. Others, new ones, may be open because there's a need. And so we just pray that you'll lead us and guide us and let us know what is needed and that we will be a part of it. And even if we're a little uncertain, but we'll choose to be a part of whatever it is, Lord, that you are doing. We learn as we go along. We've all made mistakes, and somewhere along the way, we're probably going to make a few more. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't have made the effort to begin with. And it doesn't mean that over time, you're not going to continue to teach us and make us more effective in what we do. And so I just pray, Lord, that during this time that we won't be afraid, but we will be praying and we'll just be seeking you and saying, Lord, lead us and guide us both individually and as a church in the way that you would have us to go. That's all we ask, Lord. We don't know the future. We can't know the future. All we can do is trust the fact that you've told us that you're going to be with us every step of the way. And so as we go, just like somebody, we're learning new stuff, how to ride a bike, or even for a toddler, how to walk. And may take a few spills along the way, but always pressing forward, growing, maturing, increasing in ability, in understanding, and in usefulness for you. That is my prayer today for each of us, Lord, that you will guide us and direct us, and that we won't fear the future because we know you're the Lord of the future, and we know you're going to lead us, you're going to guide us, and you're going to show us exactly where we need to be and what we need to be doing. Thank you that you told us to stay busy until the very day Jesus returns. So help us to do that, Lord, and help us, yes, to love and cherish the past, but to live in the present and to be forward focused. That's our prayer today, in and through the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.